Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to Bundesliga for Beginners, the Bundesliga podcast for beginners. You should hopefully know the drill by now. I'm Jamie Smith, I'm your co-host, along with Kevin DeVries, who you'll know from the EPL Roundtable. That's on the same channel that we are on. Jim Knight is with us as well. You'll know Jim from the EPL shows, I'm sure. And our Bundesliga expert is John McKenzie. A lot to get through this week, so let's not hang around doing small talk. We'll start with the first game of the weekend, Friday night, Freiburg v Gladbach, another of our intrapod derby games. John, kick us off with this one. What did you make of the game?
Yeah, it was a game that I said that I wasn't really looking forward to in our preview of it, partly because the first result this season between the two teams was 4-2 in favour of Gladbach, and Gladbach have got a team that are playing really quite impressive football, particularly when it comes to sort of breaking down teams who sit back. There's, I think they're very good at sort of controlling space and moving defences around. And when I saw that the Freiburg were going out in their 4-4-2 formation, which has been a bit too static in the past, I was a little bit nervous. But it was one of those games where it sort of went Freiburg's way very much. That they managed to keep Gladbach out in terms of scoring. They had Gladbach, I thought, had a really quite strong first half, but there was then that red card to Alessandro Plea, and after that had happened, Freiburg really got into the game, and it was down to Nils Pettersson, their sort of stalwart centre forward, finishing from a free kick, a lovely header into the far corner, and that was job done. So yeah, it was from the perspective of a Freiburg supporter, it was a really exciting game that I enjoyed quite a lot.
Yeah, and a rare home win. We've talked about home wins on the show being unusual since the restart, and that's how that one played out. Jim, we've talked about Gladbach and consistency. Is that just what went wrong here? Just not managing to produce the sort of form that we've seen in some of the other games?
Yeah, I think so. Gladbach created plenty of chances and didn't take any of them. I think they could look back on that game and be pretty disappointed that they haven't got themselves in front, particularly with the first half chances. And then obviously when player goes off, things get a lot more difficult. And then player gets himself sent off, and then Freiburg score almost immediately after that, and it's just an uphill battle. I think on the XG count, watching Gladbach won that particular battle. Not that it means anything if you don't actually put the ball in the back of the net, but I think it shows that they created sufficient enough opportunities to be really, really disappointed that I didn't take anything from the game. Obviously now player's going to be suspended as well, so it kind of adds another issue into that, given how well he and Thuram have partnered up in the past, which is something we spoke about on the last show. And yeah, by Leverkusen now kind of breathing down Mönchengladbach's neck for that fourth spot, and things are suddenly starting to look a little bit tricky for the final Champions League spot. So it could be quite a nail-biting end to the season for Mönchengladbach, and I don't think in a good way if they keep playing like that.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because it was so dangerous in some of the games that we've seen, like beating Union Berlin 4-1, but it's two games in three without a goal now. Like you say, it's so tight for those Champions League places. Gladbach really quite lucky that Leipzig dropped points as well. They drew 1-1 at home to Paderborn, who scored really late to rescue a draw out of that one. But we'll move on to the Leverkusen game now that Jim was mentioning. Leverkusen beaten at home by Bayern Munich. Kev, this was a strange old game because everything started really well for Leverkusen.
Yeah, so we were kind of talking in the WhatsApp chat. For the first like 30 minutes of the match, it was entirely in transition. Nobody had the ball for longer than like 10 seconds at any given time. It was just constant sprinting back and forth to both ends. One of those ended up being very fruitful for Bayer Leverkusen, who scored through Lucas Alario, who scored a really nice near post finish past Neuer. Questions about an offside. The commentator seemed very confused here in the States. Also, interestingly, just because we've talked about some of the audio issues before about crowd noise, which I did have again, the commentators were about a second or two late compared to the action, which actually is really jarring and confusing while things are happening, especially in that instance, because they were like, well, it looks like he was offside because the flag had gone up, and they were like talking about how he was being offside prevented the goal while they're celebrating. Anyway, just very odd. But yeah, ended up...
I mean, I actually prefer it when the commentators say what's happening before it's happened. I don't like the surprise. Yeah. I like to know what's coming.
I believe that the reason why that happens is because the commentary team will have been commentating from home, which is where you get the big lag from, rather than going into a studio. So I'm sure that's what the explanation was.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Still sucks.
One of them.
Yeah. But so, yeah, it was a very promising start. Then there were a couple of other early chances for Leverkusen as well. So I was actually starting to feel pretty confident. And then Bayern Munich did that thing that they do where they're like, oh, this goal switch. First one, Kingsley Coman came from just a really silly error by Diaby in midfield, which, as we were also talking about in the chat, not a central midfielder. And that's sure where he was when he lost the ball. And so they were in transition yet again, moving the other way. I still think maybe somebody should have stayed home, because then it was a pretty easy pass into Coman, who just ran in free, had a really professional finish, if you'll pardon the cliche, around Radecki, who up until that point had already made a couple of really big saves. And I think in my notes I had written down, is Radecki the best goalkeeper in the world? tongue-in-cheek way, turned out to not be the case later in the match. Then obviously the Goretzka goal right before half really just put a damper on things. Then Gnabry and Lewandowski get in on the act. I'm sure we'll touch on Müller here in a second, but he hits the 20 assist mark, which is the first time somebody in Europe has done that since, was it De Bruyne at one of the W clubs that I definitely get wrong Wolfsburg. If I took a guess at?
Yeah, Wolfsburg. Yep.
Then, yeah, Wirtz gets a nice little goal at the end. Thought he had taken too much time, but cuts it back onto his left and curls it past Neuer. Fantastic effort from him. Know we've talked about him before in that first show, I think it was. But yeah, to just be 17 and have that kind of composure in the penalty area with defenders all around you, just trying to find the right way to get that ball out from under you, I thought was really impressive from him. Conversely, was really disappointed with Diaby, who a couple of weeks ago I confused between Mane and Sané, who I was actually trying to talk about. But if you'll forgive me going into the pacey winger cliches, actually this week reminded me a lot more of Raheem Sterling at City pre-Pep Guardiola, where it just seemed like he would constantly get in dangerous positions and then every single time make the wrong choice. Aaron Lennon, kind of an earlier version of that as well. because he constantly got in the box and then did the wrong thing. Multiple times trying to take a shot from the most acute of angles when there are players that he could have laid the ball across to. Then the one time he actually laid the ball across, he probably should have taken it and the ball didn't even make it over to the striker. And it was just a very infuriating performance from him. So to go from seeing him on the left being all frustrating, although I think he switched over to the right for a period, when Wirtz came on, he just genuinely looked the better of the two, which is surprising considering the high praise I'd given Diaby in the past. But yeah, I guess these are things we'll just have to work through as Bayer Leverkusen fans, of which I am obviously a very devoted part. But yeah, Diaby was just infuriating to watch on the day.
Yeah, he seemed to just have a lot of shots, none of which were very good. At some point, you think one of his teammates has gone, look, mate, maybe pass the ball.
Well, I think that's what happened. And then he passed it in an opportunity where he should have shot it. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah. Probably a confidence thing by that point, isn't it? You've made so many bad decisions. Worth pointing out on Wirtz became the youngest Bundesliga goal scorer in history, which I was really surprised at because we keep talking about the Bundesliga being great for young players, but like 17 something, which obviously isn't very old, but we're used to the Premier League seeing 16-year-olds like Wayne Rooney or whoever exploding onto the scene. So I was surprised that it was. He's as old as he is, the old 17-year-old. Jim, we'll bring you back in. Like Kev was saying, it was such an open game. One of the most entertaining, I think, I've seen since the restart. But Leverkusen seems to just really play into Bayern's hands by making it so open, let them have so much space. it just seemed a bit naive.
Yeah, it was a bold approach, and for a time it looked like it might pay off, about 18 minutes. And then Bayern just seemed to wake up. The problem is that even if you go 1-0 up in that kind of situation, Bayern have just got this overdrive that no one seemingly can match. And they can just put in this consistent spell of like 20 or 30 minutes and just take the game away from you completely. So it's a weird one, because if you're Leverkusen, you either need to kind of shut things down and hope to soak up the pressure and hit them on the break or whatever, and then try and defend a lead. Or you need to stand toe to toe with them a lot of the time. And it's a bit similar to kind of when people are talking about how to beat Liverpool, for example. People are saying you've got to go toe to toe with them. You've got to try and beat fire with fire. And it's like, well, that's quite a difficult thing to do when you're talking about one of the best teams in Europe that have just got a million different goal scorers and Thomas Muller just reinventing himself in this assist machine role that he's gone through. Also, how insane is it that Muller's the first player to hit 20 assists in a top flight league in Europe, despite the fact the Bundesliga have fewer games per season than basically everywhere else who has 20 teams?
I thought Ötzel had passed that the year he finished top in assists at Arsenal.
I mean, 20 is a hell of a lot. Like, I can't remember that many players that have ever got 20. So it's possible that he did, but I just think it's incredible that Muller's managed to do it, not only in a shorter season compared to the vast majority of the teams and players he's competing against, but also he's done it 30 games into a season. He's not even needed the extra eight to get there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up at the end of the season in terms of the assist number, because I suggest that that number might well stand for a very, very long time for the most assists, certainly in Bundesliga history, I guess, let alone the top five leagues, unless I'm not remembering someone that's already got an insane amount already, but seems unlikely given that he's into 20 already with eight games to go.
It is. It's not even eight games, because it's like four or five, I think.
Oh, of course. Well, that's me confusing with the Premier League numbers, so because I'm thinking 38 games. Yeah, of course. And they've only got 18 teams. So,
And he's actually going to be suspended for the next game against your Gladbach boys, along with Lewandowski.
You're welcome.
We might have a chance now. Yeah, that's interesting.
Clearly, also, didn't fancy that one.
did look it up, and Ötzel had 19 that season.
There you go.
Still a lot. The crazy thing with Muller for me, and we're going to come on to some of the other records that Bayern are chasing for in a couple of minutes, but the crazy thing is, like, I don't think he's seen as a super creative player. Like, if you talk to someone about Thomas Muller, they'll talk about like the scrappy goals or his positional sense. They won't necessarily think of him being like an Ozil, a De Bruyne, a James Rodriguez, like a classic creative number 10. John, the reinvention of Muller then seems to be one of the real plus points for Bayern this season. But this was just another game where they just had extra gears, extra quality, really showed the gulfing class between Bayern and the rest of the league.
Yeah, I've got a few things I guess I would say in this regard. The first thing is that we've seen this shift, I think, in certain elite teams where you're seeing a lot of the creativity coming from further back in the team than you might necessarily expect. So we've seen Liverpool obviously using their fullbacks in a far more attacking sense, and at Bayern Munich you've basically got. You've got Leon Goretzka, who many people consider a hugely productive central midfielder, playing in a double pivot with Joshua Kimmich, who, I mean, we saw him score that goal against Dortmund as well. But the passing superiority that Bayern are looking for creativity is coming from Kimmich, it's coming from David Alaba as well at the back. And then they obviously have their really quick fullbacks as well, both of whom can get down size and offer support. And I think that's what we're seeing in elite football now, is that you're not looking to have creativity necessarily coming from the middle of the park like you used to have. You're looking for taller, more athletic players. You're looking at players like Lewandowski and Muller, who are sort of aerially superior, who can do stuff in the air as well. And then you're relying on getting those the crosses in from out wide or from the central areas through your centre backs or your midfielders. So I think that's one thing that should be said here. That said, obviously Muller is producing a lot of assists this season, and I think it's partly for that reason. There's obviously the fact that he's being played in a a slightly different position as well. He was being played out wide for most of his career, but now he's being played in a sort of 10/ advanced 8 position, and that's changed things. The other thing to remember is that this Bayern team are scoring an average of three goals a game, which just means that if you are able to be a creative player like Müller is, then you you just got
so to go around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and which is why we're seeing Lewandowski potentially about to break records as well. So I think it's just a combination of those two things.
Yeah, well, Lewandowski was going to be my next point. It might be that his suspension for the Gladbach game proves crucial individually. Kev, you're a stats guy. Lewandowski's been chasing down Gerd Müller's Bundesliga record, 40 in a season. Müller scored. It looks like Lewandowski's going to have a lot to do because he's on 30 now and he's only going to play 3 more games. But Bayern also could set a record for the most goals scored in a Bundesliga season. So we could be looking at this Bayern team as a historically good Bundesliga team.
Yeah, it's obviously incredible that Bayern Munich have been playing this well. And I also think it's a big testament. We mentioned him a few weeks ago, but to the change that Hansi Flick brought since he came in, they were obviously already succeeding, but now doing it at just a ridiculous pace. That pace will probably be harmed, though, like you said. I mean, both in terms of them trying to chase all-time goals with Lewandowski and Müller, who we keep talking about, without them generating the attack, you know, it's less likely that either Lewandowski can get his personal goals, obviously, but that the club as a whole could reach that point. But regardless, I mean, it doesn't have to be a record-breaking Bayern team to be an incredible Bayern team or one of the best teams in Bundesliga history. They just happen to also be within touching distance of that. And it is really frustrating, especially this weekend after having them watching them beat Bayer Leverkusen. And I don't know if you guys remember, in the first show, I kind of talked about this, that one of the reasons I always found it difficult to get invested in the Bundesliga is just like, by how much is Bayern going to obliterate everyone? And they're well on their way to doing it again. But you obviously have to just applaud what they're able to do. Maybe not the way that they do it with the buying of other Bundesliga talents and kind of keeping everybody else below them. But we've talked about that, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in more depth in the future. But yeah, even if they fall short of all of those marks, an incredible season, and they still might not. It just, they are a little bit behind the pace now, probably, with the suspensions to Lewandowski and to Müller.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of if, not when. They're still the title now, 7-point gap with just 4 games to go. So it might be that these records focus.
Speaking of which, when Dortmund won, here in the States, the commentator said the title race is still well and truly on. I was like, ah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's very much media trying to keep Inter. It was such a shame, wasn't it, that Dortmund couldn't get a result in the Classic? Because I think everyone wants to see a title race. And I felt a bit down after that because it was like, oh, we're doing a Bundesliga podcast and the title race is already over. But I have really enjoyed watching Bayern. They're an extremely fun team to watch. I think Kimmich is an absolute superstar. I'm so excited to see how his career develops. It's easy to forget that he's still really young. So yeah, a bit of a shame that the excitement's going to be the relegation battle, the race for Champions League places, but Bayern, absolutely superb. And hats off to them, not that I'm wearing a hat. Next part of the show then, we're going to do a quiz this week. I'm sure everyone in lockdown around the world has been doing multiple quizzes. Someone sent me a Bundesliga quiz, so I was like, this looks fun, let's do this on the show. I've already done the quiz, so the benchmark I've set is 8 out of 10.
And we're just supposed to trust that? In
there's
this
no
economy?
Way I'm getting 8 out of 10. I'm just putting that out there now.
I haven't heard the questions yet. Are they 8 out of 10?
Unless they are who is going to win this season's title, there's no way I'm getting 8, and that is only one of the possible answers that I would...
Well, we actually had to... The clue that I'll give you is that neither of the clubs that you now support are the answers, because originally we had Gladbach as a question. I was like, that's not really fair, because Jim will definitely get that one.
You give me way too much credit there, to be fair, like that could have
been. Really, well, he saved your blushes, if anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm delighted, because it means I've got an out for not getting a question right, because that would have been super embarrassing.
I can actually prove that I got 8 out of 10, because John has seen me reacting on... Someone sent it through Facebook and I sent the answers back, so John can prove it. And John is going to be quizmaster, so hopefully he's got the questions in front of him.
I do indeed.
Take it away. Let's do the quiz.
we're going to work our way through these questions then, and then we'll do the answers,
at the end. Yeah, I should have explained how we're going to do it. So, Kev and Jim, write down your answers somewhere on paper or whatever.
Oh, how will you check? Can I just lie? Warning.
Well, I think we just trust each other, don't we?
All right.
I thought I'd come last on a quiz on Friday. I was absolutely devastated. It turned out the one person who was supposed to be above me just lied about his score. So I wasn't actually last. So moral of the story, don't lie about your score.
All right.
If you act like an adult, Kev, we will treat you like an adult.
So play along at home and we'll have the answers. Play along at home, we'll have the answer at the end of the show. John, take it away.
Okay, so here we go. This is the first question. The Olympiastadion is the ground of which Bundesliga team?
I got that one right. I'm just going to say that for eight.
You can do that eight times.
Yeah, might get annoying.
Okay, ready for question two?
God,
Bayern Munich have won the Bundesliga championship 29 times. Who is the second most frequent winner?
Oh, yeah, this is definitely a trap, but okay.
It's a trap. I didn't get this one right, by the way. So that's one of the three.
Question three. Schalke are from which city?
Oh, I know this one because I asked why they had that letter in their thing.
Yeah. Fans of the show will remember that we were asking if the G is for Gazprom. No.
It is not, turns out.
Definitely begins with a G then.
Yeah, way to give it away, Jamie.
Question four. Which ground in the Bundesliga is the largest in terms of capacity?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's lots of quiet studiousness here, so we can only imagine that good answers are being
got. You got eight of these?
Absolutely not.
I may have genuinely gotten four wrong already.
I mean, we do the show on Skype, and I can see that Jim's muted himself, which I can only assume is because he's tapping.
I'm just cursing myself rather than cheating.
Question five, I think, because I don't have the numbers down. But which club has a live goat for a mascot? Ooh. I'll give you a clue here. The German nickname for this club is Die Geisbocker.
Oh, that
which
means
that's not a clue if you don't speak German.
The goat.
The goat.
Or the billy goat.
Have they seen? Have they been allowing the goat in, or is the goat like having to socially distance?
The goat is currently, I believe, being looked after by a zoo.
Hmm.
It's always but the same goat. Okay.
So the current goat is called Hannes the Sixth or something like that. I believe something like that. We need to check up on that. But
for those that like American sports, think he's the University of Georgia Bulldog, same thing, where it's just a lineage of bulldogs forever.
I have a feeling that he's not even being isolated because of coronavirus, but because of some other illness that he's had that he's recovering from. So there you go.
Well, hopefully the goat gets better soon. Shall we carry on with the quiz?
Get well soon, goat.
Question six is, how many consecutive league titles have Bayern Munich won?
That's not including the current one because they haven't won it yet.
Haven't they?
Question seven is, in which year was the Bundesliga founded? So I'm looking for specifically the first year that the Bundesliga was played in.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
This is terrible.
I could be 25, 30 years off on that, but I've got no clue.
Yeah. Jamie just that's flexing on us.
We had to slot that one in because the question was about the cardboard cutouts, and I was like, you might both remember that, but it's about Jim's club, so it wasn't really fair. So that's the one that we slotted in there.
Question 8 is, Jurgen Klopp started his managerial career by taking which club to the Bundesliga for the first time in its history?
Oh my God. We're so Jesus. Beginners. If anything, this proves that our name is accurate. So even though we might fail, it'll be in a way that proves the concept of the show.
I'll give you a clue on this one. They are still in the Bundesliga.
Ooh.
That narrows it down.
Question 9. Which Bundesliga club did Kevin Keegan play for in the 1970s and 80s, I believe, actually? And then question 10. How many teams compete in the Bundesliga?
Well, I got that wrong in our first episode, but hopefully I've learned by
now. A couple
now.
Of the questions that do refer to things that we've talked about on the show before, so hopefully the guys will at least get those right. Otherwise, that's a really bad sign, I think. So yeah, we'll do the answers to those questions towards the end of the show. We do have a tiebreaker in case nobody got any right. Or...
Big fat zeros all round.
Or in case they got all of them right. You never
it's
know.
It's not that one.
So we'll go back to the show now. We'll talk briefly about the bottom of the table. Big weekend at the bottom of the league. It's getting really tight down there with only a handful of games to go. Mainz 2-0 winners at Eintracht Frankfurt. Massive result for them. And Fortuna Dusseldorf got a point at home to Hoffenheim to keep them in it. We were going to talk about Schalke, but they...
They got a draw.
Yeah. But that's 12 games without a win now for David Wagner's Schalke. John, we've talked about this on the show before. The pressure on him must be building and building. They're probably far enough clear to not be worried about the draw. It's 10 points, isn't it? So they're almost mathematically safe. But the form before the break and since the break has just been dreadful.
Yeah, I don't have the figures to hand, but they've barely picked up anything since they started again. And I think there is very much a drop off after the Hinrunde, which is the first round of the Bundesliga fixtures. Now we're in the Rückrunde, the second half, and it's come off the rails a little bit. I was doing a little bit of research looking at the underlying numbers, and Schalke have got the second lowest XG total for the season so far, which is really quite impressively bad. Now it is the case that David Wagner, I think, has barely ever had a season with a club where they've ended up with positive goal difference. So there's clearly an issue with creativity when it comes to Wagner's teams. And I think it's a bit of a shame because I think there's no danger this team were ever going to go down, I think, after the first half of the season. And there was very much a danger with the run of form that they've had that Wagner's going to lose his job. I don't think that there is going to be that sort of patience with him that he might be expecting. Schalke, as we've mentioned last week, is they're sort of the third biggest team in Germany in terms of the fan base, and that fan base has an expectation that the manager of that club will get them challenging for Champions League spots. So I think the best chance that he had really was to come out in the remainder of the games after they sort of made it impossible that Champions League spots were sort of out of their reach. I think he should have just come out and tried to be more expressive, more creative in terms of the football that they were playing, but it just hasn't been the case at all. Now, there is, like as you said, there's a huge amount of pressure on him as a result of all of these various facts, but it does seem as though he's just going to be let go and will become another casualty of this period in Schalke's history where they're being run quite badly by the board and it's the managers who are getting the blame for it.
Yeah, it's certainly one to keep an eye on. Paderborn got a point, but I think everyone thinks it's probably too late for them. They've got 20 and it's 11 points to above the relegation playoff place. They're almost done, but very, very tight above that. Fortuna Düsseldorf still 16th, which is the relegation playoff place, and then 3 points above them, Mainz, Augsburg, Union, only a point above them. My Augsburg game was pretty dull until the last few minutes when things started happening. Kev, I think you were going to grill me on Augsburg, so I was paying very close attention in case you had questions that I couldn't answer. John, yeah, yeah. Ask questions.
Don't ask questions? Well, that's going to make this very awkward. No, like Augsburg John aren't great. Questions. How about that? We'll stick with statements, and then you can react to it. Obviously, you've mentioned on past shows that you haven't quite fallen in love with the Bundesliga club that was chosen for you or that you chose. we're talking about the front line a little bit there in the WhatsApp chat earlier. And so I was just wondering, thus far, what about them has been so disillusioning to have you just outright insult the club that you allegedly pseudo support on this show?
Far be it for me to argue with a flowchart, which, as we know, are signs. You can't argue against flowchart. Firstly, they don't seem to win any games. They've won one since the restart, and that was against Schalke, which, as I say every week, doesn't count because everyone beat Schalke. They don't seem to score any goals either. Mentioned the chap Needle Eckner on the show last time out. He's got 11 goals in the Bundesliga this year, apparently. I don't believe it. I do not believe this guy scored 11 goals. He seems absolutely hopeless. Had a couple of chances today. Didn't look like he was going to score. Had a penalty save. Timo Holm had a very good penalty save, to be fair, having given the penalty away himself. But he just looks absolutely rubbish. And one bright point, the commentator was saying, Finn Bogason came on, a guy whose name I recognise, Iceland international. Apparently he's one of Augsburg's better players. He's been injured, he came off the bench and helped them to look a bit more lively. But I think it says a lot that the equaliser came from the left-back Philipp Max, who's probably Augsburg's best player.
Yeah, he's up there in like the crossing charts for sure.
Yeah, he's really dangerous. Sets all the set pieces. Set pieces weren't great today. But he's a threat and he gets in the box like he did for the equaliser today. 7 or 8 Bundesliga goals this season. I think he's up there with the top scoring defenders in the league. And he seems to be their main chance of scoring a goal at the moment, which isn't really what you want from a defender. So I think we'll leave Augsburg there, hopefully forever, because I'm growing to absolutely hate them.
It looks like they're going to stay up, probably.
Yeah, I think...
gives you another season to hate them a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. It's not football unless you really hate that the team you support, is it? That's like half the point of it. And when they do something good, it's surprising and you like it more. The next thing we're going to talk about is Timo Werner. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was, we talked about Timo Werner signing for Liverpool and where he was going to fit in.
Whoops.
Turns out he's not signing for Liverpool. Came out this week. This is all not official yet, but seems to have been leaked from one side, both sides. But it seems like he's going to Chelsea instead. John, do you think this is a better move for Timo Werner than Liverpool? It seems like it's Liverpool who decided not to pull the trigger.
Yeah, it's really interesting, this one. I think we're sort of blithely going on about our lives, just assuming that everything's going to go back to normal in terms of elite football. But this very much throws a spanner in the works of that. And it really made me wonder what we're going to see in terms of the powerhouses after the coronavirus has sort of died down a little bit. Because the option to buy Timo Werner would normally have been taken by Liverpool, I think, no questions asked. But it turns out that they are claiming that they don't have the money to do it. And Chelsea are coming in for him. So I wonder whether or not we're going to see a rise in some of the oligarch-owned football clubs who have less of an issue, I suppose, than maybe a club owned by someone like FSG. But that's a different question entirely. I think that it's going to be really interesting to see what happens at Chelsea next season. I think they're obviously a club in transition. They've got a young manager who, and not everyone is convinced, is going to be the greatest manager of all time. And they're making a lot of moves in the transfer market this window. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they actually turn out, whether or not you go down the route of bringing in a huge amount of players and talent, and whether or not he can get them to all perform together at the same time. We saw from this season's showing that Chelsea are going to be extremely exciting in attacking situations, but defensive transitions, they're going to look quite open, I think. And it's going to be the case that they're just going to have a huge, we're talking about obviously Ziyech as well from Ajax. They're going to be a tremendously exciting attacking team, and Werner is just going to add to that as well. He's going to give them a huge amount of pace, either through the middle or down the wings as well, if he's needed. So I'm interested to see whether or not they can fix problems, maybe in terms of defensive side of the team rather than the attacking side of the team. But it does suggest that Chelsea are going to be able to start challenging at the top of the table a little bit more because they're bringing in so much talent.
Yeah, I think it's a better move for Werner. I mean, when we talked about the Liverpool move, we were thinking, is he going to fit in the team? Is it?
Yeah.
Is he just going to be cover across the front line, and then obviously there'll be rotation? I think it's African Nations, isn't it, this season? And I think they've moved it back to January, I think. So Mane and Salah might be missing for a few weeks in the middle of the season. So I think with all those things in mind, Timo Werner going to Chelsea instead seems to make a lot more sense. Jim, something I was reading this week actually suggested that he would have been, having had his heart set on Liverpool initially, and then Liverpool essentially saying, no, we don't want you because of money. He apparently would have been happy to give Leipzig another year and wait for Liverpool, but Leipzig need the money because they're not selling enough energy drink, presumably.
Yeah, nobody's going out to bars and paying £10 for a vodka Red Bull. Yeah.
Remember vodka Red Bull.
It's a strange situation because, I think the overtures from Liverpool and vice versa, you know, he's talked about how Liverpool were the best team in the world, and it was very much a love-in until, as you say, Liverpool seemingly pulled out and kind of said, no, we're not as interested. And I do wonder how much of that is down to the fact that a club like Real Madrid, for example, could potentially have been circling around someone like Mo Salah or Sadio Mane with the idea of taking them away. So they were sizing up potential replacements for that front three. And if that previous move has fallen through or doesn't look as likely, perhaps they've gone a little bit lukewarm on the prospect of spending 52, 53 million pounds on a player that, let's be honest, it is very, very talented, obviously, but you can't see how he's going to hold down a place in that front three, given the way that they've played in the last 2 years. Whereas Chelsea, they've got Tammy Abraham and Michy Batshuayi, but they don't actually have like a defined number one, you know, stellar name to lead the line. So to them, spending 54 million on a seemingly guaranteed amount of goals, whether that's kind of up into the 20s or the teens, is probably a solid investment. But yeah, it will be interesting because he certainly didn't have a very good game this weekend. I know you shouldn't judge a player on one showing, but he certainly looked a little bit disappointed with the lack of Liverpool move, if his performance at the weekend's anything to go by. But yeah, I'm excited to watch him in the Premier League. He's one of those players that's often been linked with a move to England. So yeah, I guess we're about to find out what he can do. Yeah. Outside of a Red Bull shirt.
It should be noted again that Red Bull claim, not Red Bull, that's not their name. Sorry, Russian Bull.
Not Red Bull, I think.
Yes, RB. RB have said that they haven't even had contact from Chelsea yet, but from the Chelsea side, it sounds like they're just going to pay the fee and then he'll be theirs because they've already agreed terms with the player.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you...
It's the release clause thing, isn't it? So they don't even have to contact. Negotiate with the club.
Yeah, there's no fee.
Deposit the... Yeah. Deposit the fee in the right bank account or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that seem a bit low, 50 odd million? Like, I don't know how
it does
the
now.
Kind of release clause. Well, I'm just thinking, how long has it been there and why didn't they up it? Like, a lot of players.
And they're not up it last summer. I thought he signed a new deal last year. And it
if they upped it to 54 million, they obviously don't value him that highly, or they thought they might
probably
need the money at this
probably
point.
It's probably all that he would commit to if it had been like
he wouldn't have signed. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe that was it. And kind of it's the 1 year deal of like, look, if you agree that if we get X amount, then you can stay. Yeah, that's fair enough. I've always thought it seemed a little bit low considering he's such a highly touted player, and we've seen release clauses that are a lot more than that based on kind of his potential and stuff. Then I thought maybe they could get a bit more for him. But again, it could be that situation of, you know, he would only sign if it was a bit more of an attainable fee for a large proportion of elite clubs, basically.
Yeah.
He also signed in 2016 from Stuttgart. And I suspect that the buyout clause was sort of rolled over when he renewed. He must have renewed for a year, maybe. I'm not entirely sure of his contract details, but I suspect back in 2016, 50 odd million was quite a big sum. And, I guess
they're still going to make good money on him, aren't they? I mean,
I think they're still getting 8-ish. Because somebody was talking about how Tottenham bid 10 million euros back when he was still at Stuttgart, and that they're still going to get 80% of that with him having not been there in a while.
He was 10 million when he was bought, so they're making a lot of money on him.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, John, I'm going to bug you with a thing, but don't panic. is to explain a thing that we should probably understand, but don't. So James that replaced me on that show that you guys thought was so much better because I wasn't here.
Best one on the series, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Right. he said that Timo Werner going from Stuttgart to Leipzig to Chelsea is really kind of fitting, isn't it? And I don't get it, but is this a dig at Chelsea so that I can thoroughly enjoy it?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure why it's fitting either. So if you have any suggestions, then I'll be happy to listen to them.
Oh, I genuinely like don't know. I didn't know if Stuttgart had like a history of themselves buying players, and then RB Leipzig have a history of buying players, and then Chelsea have that thing ever since Scott Parker of just buying players that maybe they don't need immediately. And I was hoping to just make some comment about that, but I guess it just doesn't make sense, and I'll slag them for Twitter on it.
Well, Leipzig have a sort of age limit on their transfers of, I think it's 23 years. They bring anyone in who's not already in their academy. They can only buy under 23 years, something like that. And Chelsea obviously have their history of loan signing, so I don't know whether or not it was a reference to that.
Okay, well, I thought I wasn't putting you on the spot, but turns out it didn't make as much sense as I thought it did. Now, I want to know how I did on this gosh darn quiz.
I think first we should make a regular feature of the show, get John to explain the meaning of someone else's tweet. I think that was really good. I actually want to do a Kev before we do the quiz results. So on Timo Werner, John, is there any sort of speculation about what Leipzig are going to do with the money? It's obviously going to be a big boost to their budget. Are they going to go and get like a direct replacement or spread it around the team? Is there speculation about what they're going to do?
Yeah, I've not really heard anything on this front, but I mean, they, as I've said, they have got this nominal under 23 purchasing rule that they nominally abide by. But there's been a few players who they've sort of broken the rules for in weird ways. And they brought in Kevin Campbell, who was 27 at the time, but I think he might have been there when he was younger, and so they were able to get around it that way. So I don't know whether or not, when it comes to this sort of level, when you are an elite team now in the Bundesliga after however many years, 8 years, whether or not you just throw that transfer model in the bin and just say, well, you know, we're never going to be able to keep up with things, or whether or not you just keep going with it and say, look, let's try and find a replacement from a small market in Europe or a youth team somewhere around Europe, and then hope that we can make the same sort of return on him that we've made with Werner. But is it, the interesting thing here is that obviously they're owned by Red Bull, so money shouldn't really be that much of an issue, I don't think. I mean, it's not the case that they are running a football club in order to make profit. They're using it as a branding exercise, right? So I have no idea what they're going to do with it. I suspect they've got someone lined up, and I suspect that someone will be someone who we don't expect, and yeah, also that they'll do very well as well.
They've had plenty of notice, I suppose, haven't they? I mean, Werner almost went last year. Mm. It's been on the cards that he might go this year. There's a chap at Salzburg who's scoring a lot of goals, so he's replaced Haaland, isn't he? It might be a bit soon for him. Is it Dakar?
Yeah, that's right.
African chap, so that will go for him. Yeah, let's do the quiz results. I cut you off to ask John a question. Sorry, Kev.
You know what? Antagonizing John with really absurd questions and putting him on the back foot immediately is my thing, and I don't appreciate you co-opting it. But... John, now that I have done said instigating, please tell me I did well on this quiz.
I don't know what your answers are, so we're going to have to run through.
Asking him more questions he doesn't know the answer to, quite literally.
It's like an impossible test.
My polite request, I did a quiz on Friday night, and one of the rounds, when we came to the answers, the guy wasn't reading the answers out in the order of the questions. So like... What's going on? Are we supposed to just match these up ourselves?
Okay. So
that's the real quiz.
So I guess read us the questions again, and then Jim and I will each give our answers, and then we'll find out.
Yeah. And
keep your own scores.
Okay.
I can keep score. I can count.
Yeah. Okay. But be honest, Kev. Okay.
I love that it's Kev getting the accusations of cheating already.
It's because I'm American, isn't it? This is profiling. Profiling is wrong.
Questioning the rules that you thought you could cheat, that it made it sound like you really wanted to. Right, so question one. The Olympiastadion is the ground of which team in the Bundesliga?
Hertha Berlin.
If we're going with full honesty, I just wrote Berlin. Didn't know which one.
I think half a point for Berlin because there's two Berlins.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm happy to Yeah. But what about Anne Boleyn? Question two. Bayern Munich have won the Bundesliga championship 29 times. Who is the second most frequent winners?
Dortmund, I went for.
Yeah, me too. But then Jamie said his thing, but he said it after, and I didn't think I should change it.
Yeah, the Dortmund are the third most frequent winners. They've won it eight times. There is a team called FC Nuremberg, who are based in Nuremberg, who have won it nine times. So the answer is one FC Nuremberg.
Nope.
Schalke are from which city?
Gelsenkirchen.
Your name with G.
Gelsenkirchen.
Right. Good. The next question is, which ground is the largest in the Bundesliga?
Westfalenstadion, I went for.
I went with the Bayer Arena because they're the best club in all of Germany and so assuredly have the biggest stadium. I did not know.
It is the Westfalenstadion, which is now called Signal Iduna Park, which is Dortmund's ground.
Yeah. Oh, right, because they have that gigantic yellow... I should have known
that. Which club has a live goat for a mascot?
Cologne,
right?
Yeah, that's right, Cologne.
I knew that because of Kevin Vimmer. The Billy Goats? Don't ask me why. That's why I know.
Wow.
Rather than the weeks and weeks of Bundesliga football that you've just watched.
Correct.
So, yeah, the question, how many consecutive league titles have Bayern Munich won, which doesn't include the current one because, as Jamie says, they haven't won it yet.
I thought it was seven because we've discussed this quite recently, but now I'm doubting myself on whether it's eight and I've got that wrong.
I think it's seven going on eight.
It is seven.
That's right. Yeah. Good. This is going remarkably well.
The year that the Bundesliga was first played.
I think we should have a point for nearest here.
Yeah, the thing that's...
Ooh!
Okay, now, Kev, do you want me to go first so that you can have an opportunity just to go one either side and then snag the point?
It's a dirty trick, but Kev is losing, so I will also do the dirty trick.
You don't know.
Cool, I'll go first. I went 1965.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That is so far away from mine.
Now Kev's not even sure if I've got it so badly wrong, whether he needs to go above or below.
What are you going to do, Kev? Are you going to change your mind?
Oh, dear, no. I put 1901, my theory being I don't think I've seen any clubs with 0-1, but I've seen a lot of clubs with 0-something, and now I fear I'm more than half a century off.
Jim was actually incredibly close, right?
Yeah, that's right. The reason you're getting confused is because the Bundesliga starts after the teams are founded. So the Bundesliga was founded in 1963.
Jeez,
God damn it.
You nailed it, Jim.
Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, but Price is Right rules, he went over. I'm closest.
I'm not sure you can claim a moral victory being 64 years off the actual
answer. Yikes.
So, yeah, pretty close there. That's impressive. Yeah.
It's not over, but Jim is 2.5 points ahead with three questions left.
So. You don't know.
The next question, I think both of you were umming and ahhing over. So the Jurgen Klopp question, where was the club where he started his managerial career?
I thought it was Mainz, but I'm not sure.
I went with Jamie's beloved Augsburg because they seem bad and like they would have been in the Bundesliga 2 around then.
It is, in fact, Mainz.
Wow, Jim is much better at this than me.
Yeah, Jim at the start of the quiz said, oh, I'm going to get them all wrong. You give me too much credit. Absolutely smash it.
This is where it stops. I've definitely not got this next one right. I've just got a question mark, so I'm just going to guess.
So the Bundesliga club, which Kevin Keegan played for in the 70s and 80s, and actually won the European Cup, I think, with.
Oh, Jesus, that changes things. But I'm still going to guess. I don't think they've won the European Cup, but Wolfsburg, I put, it's definitely wrong.
Okay, so I might actually know this only because I watched a video that was like Hamburg Legends, and I think he was briefly in it alongside Van der Vaart and Heung-Min Son, who both ended up at Tottenham. Kevin Keegan, less so.
You would be correct.
Yes!
Yeah, you're correct. Hamburg. They I think they lost to, was it Nottingham Forest in 80, and then won it in 81 against the Swedish team, maybe Malmo. I'm not sure, but don't quote me on those.
Don't know, but I think that one gets me two extra points so that it's interesting going into the last one, or we run into a real Bayern situation and Jim's won it way before it mattered.
So the final question is, how many teams compete in the Bundesliga? We should maybe put this one up further up the running order. It seems a bit easier than some of the later ones. But yeah, how many teams is...
18.
18, famously.
18, right. Cool, so scores on the doors. Jamie?
Well, Jim won, and I think Kev was a point and a half
behind. I got 5.5.
2.5 points behind. So Jim ended up with 8, therefore matching my total, and Kev didn't do very well at all. Well, I'd prepped a tiebreaker, so I think we should do it anyway.
Sure.
All right, yeah.
Otherwise, that was a minute of
to see if I would have closed the gap a little bit.
Absolutely nothing. I don't know if John knows the answer to this, but John might be able to play along as well. Mentioned earlier in the show that Lewandowski's chasing down Gerd Müller's record for goals in a season. Müller is also the all-time Bundesliga record goal scorer, but how many goals did he score in the Bundesliga?
I think you... Oh, total?
Yeah.
Total.
Oh, no. Nope.
So it was 40, in, 40 was the record for the season, but how many in total?
Is this just closest to again?
Nearest to the ball, yeah. And it's from 427 games, if that helps.
I mean, kind of.
All right. I have a random number that I've come up with.
It says here he won the top scorer prize 5 times.
Okay. That's
pretty good. Kev, do you want to go first?
380.
Jim?
I was going to go closer to like 310.
John?
I looked this up when I was preparing for the quiz, so I don't think it would be fair for me to answer.
Fair enough. Well, the answer's 365, so Jim won the tiebreaker as well.
Wait, what? He was at 310.
No, Kev won, didn't he?
Oh,
I was
sorry.
At 380. I can confirm.
Yeah, 6.5, so I only lost by 1.5, or 1.5 total. That's a Pyrrhic victory for me.
Yeah, sorry about that. I got your answers mixed up in the notes that I didn't make. If you've done the quiz at home and beat Jim's score of 8 out of 10, please let us know. You can get in touch by tweeting us at BundesligaPod, as always. We'll round off the show talking about some upcoming matches. Midweek games again, but it's DFB Pokal is back. And an amazing story with this, John, because... one of the games involving Kev's Bayer Leverkusen is going to be against a team from the fourth tiers. It's the first time this has ever happened, isn't it, that someone from so far down has got to the semi-finals?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, the Pokal, because it's sort of played as a straight knockout tournament. So it starts off like, I got the 64 teams, and the first round is always quite interesting because you get a lot of the big teams struggling against these lower table clubs. But yeah, this time around, FC Saarbrücken have got a long way. They're playing against Leverkusen. So that should be a fun game to watch, to see whether or not Leverkusen can deal with the pressure of playing in a game they really should be winning. So that will pit them probably against Bayern Munich in the final. Bayern are playing against Frankfurt, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Frankfurt.
I did look up something about FC Saarbrücken. Yeah, we'll go with that. But obviously they're in the fourth division. But did you know that they're in that league alongside the second teams for Mainz, Hoffenheim, and Freiburg? John's beloved Freiburg are down there.
Well, we're not doing the quiz anymore, so if you're still trying to win bonus points...
Well, as we all know...
trying to get extra credit by...
as we all know, Saarbrücken lead their division with a goal difference of 34, 55 total points, 52 goals scored, 18 conceded. And their leading scorer in the competition is Gillian Jurke.
Sure. Yeah, well, actually interesting, rather than just reading off whatever webpage you've got. The goalkeeper saved 5 penalties in the last round's game, 4 in the shootout. But the difficult thing for them in this game, Jim, is that their season hasn't resumed. So these players haven't played for 3 months, and John might be able to confirm, but they might not even be pro at that level. So
yeah, it's not that far down. Are you talking about League Two level?
It's going to be incredibly difficult, but if they were to pull it off, this would be even more incredible. I'm trying to think of what would be like the equivalent in England if this was to happen.
I mean, I don't... Sorry, John, go on.
I was going to say, I'm not entirely sure how the leagues work, because I mentioned it before that...
It's regional, isn't it?
Yeah, so. The pyramid breaks down very quickly in Germany and spreads out. So, and actually, I read through the rules for who's included in the tournament, the first point, and it was so complicated, I just had to stop reading. So I have no idea what level they're actually playing at and what the football looks like at that level, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, they're definitely fourth tier, and I think their season has been halted permanently, but will stand. So they are going to be promoted into the third tier. But yeah, it's such a difficult game for them, Jim. The biggest game of their lives, probably, and they've not played for 3 months. It feels a bit harsh, really.
Yeah, it does. And I guess I know they've been promoted and stuff, but I guess from a financial point of view, it would have been a real money spinner if they'd have been able to play it with fans as well. You know, it's like you often hear of like an FA Cup quarterfinal or even a semi-final, but even a quarterfinal or a late round knockout pays for a club of that size's entire season, sometimes more, and they use the money to redevelop their stadium or whatever because they've managed to sell out a big stadium or get a big audience in. So yeah, it's a real shame that it's behind closed doors, and you just don't, I guess it makes them a really unknown quantity because you're not sure, you can't even scout them very effectively, I guess, because you've got like a 3 month gap where they've not played. So you can't even really say with any certainty how they're going to approach it based on what's happened. So it's it will certainly be an interesting watch. I mean they'll be fresh, but you don't know how much they've trained, like if they are a semi-professional club or not full-time professionals, then they might well have not been able to train, because I guess elite sport is exempt a lot of the time from the social distancing rules. For example, if you apply it to what England are doing or the UK, you're still not allowed to play football in like local parks and smaller grounds. So there's a very real chance that they'll be rolling in with no training under their belts either, like let alone match practice.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm actually really looking forward to this game because it's going to be something completely different from the Bundesliga games that we've seen, which, although we are beginners, it's football that is still recognisable to us, and this is completely out of the ordinary. How often do you see fourth-tier teams playing elite teams at this stage of a competition? It's very, very rare. So with all this in mind, Kev, how are you going to cope with the embarrassment if Leverkusen don't get the job done?
Oof, yeah, it's going to be really interesting going from Bayern Munich to this, although two consecutive table toppers, just in very different leagues, obviously.
Probably not that much other things in common between Saarbrücken and Bayern Munich.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously you'd be hoping for the win. We'll be very embarrassed if it's a loss. I'm wondering if Kai Havertz would even be tested in this match. But I mean, you have to respect them because of how far they've gotten in the competition. But you're also in the middle of chasing the Champions League spot. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the team sheet is. Obviously, the match itself will be interesting, but I'll be just as interested in what happens when the team news comes out an hour beforehand.
Yeah, Havertz might not play, but might be a good chance for Florian Wirtz to play.
Yeah, it would be great for him. Also, Volland hasn't started yet since the restart, so we'll be interested to see him get some minutes.
Yeah, Leverkusen obviously in the hunt for Champions League football, but getting to a cup final is always a great thing, so I'm sure they'll be prizing that one as a big thing to go for. Just to touch on the other semi-final, like you said there, John, Bayern against Eintracht Frankfurt. You see Frankfurt causing Bayern any problems there? Bayern presumably got eyes on the treble at this point.
Yeah, I can't see anything other than Bayern just steamrolling them, to be honest. I think they still consider the treble with the Champions League included as well within their grasp, and they're going to do everything I think they can to really achieve that. So yeah, there's some really interesting things going on around Europe in terms of teams who aren't playing who will then later on be playing football, right? So PSG is like a classic example of that. If the Champions League is played, then they won't have done any, their league is finished and it won't be resuming, so they're going to be in a weird situation where they sort of have to train for like a summer competition, which is going to be fascinating to see as well. So this Saarbrücken game could be a really interesting one, just as a sort of taster for that.
That's a good point. I wonder if in France they're thinking that Ligue 1 was maybe called off a bit too soon. And for Bayern, the flip side will be that their season's over. If they're talking about playing the Champions League in August, they will have then had a few weeks off and then have to kick off again. So all these things to look out for in the coming weeks. We'll obviously look back at the Pokal semi-finals in the next show. We're going to do a midweek show this time. But Kev, do you want to tell everyone about liking, subscribing, sign up to our YouTube channel, all that stuff? We don't actually have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I was like, you know what I mean? I don't think we have one of those. You kind of led me into a trap there. So yeah, no YouTube channels from us yet. You know, we got to get that follow count up on Twitter before we even entertain something like that. But yeah, you can subscribe on Acast or iTunes or Spotify. You can probably search us elsewhere. I'd imagine that it's being pushed other places as well, but those are the three that I actively know about. Be sure to subscribe to us there. Also follow us on Twitter at Bundesliga Pod, and just keep an eye out for any tweets from EPL Index or EPL Roundtable, who are the ones that push out this show via their Twitters as well.
Yeah, and if you've got any questions, comments, feedback, etc., please don't be afraid to get in touch. If you've got an idea for something you want us to discuss on the show, we are all ears. So yeah, tweet us at Bundesliga Pod is probably the best way to do that. You can also get us all individually. My Twitter is Jamie Smith Sport. Kev, you can get at Kevrov. Jim is Jim Knight Tweets. And John is John_McKenzie, presumably because there's lots of other John McKenzies out there. So couldn't get his own name. What a bummer.
Yeah. I don't actually know if that's true. I think it might have just been suggested to me. I joined Twitter fairly early, but maybe there is. Maybe there's some John McKenzie out there who has the dream handle.
That's homework for next week. I only brought it up because I was an early adopter for Twitter as well, and someone has been squatted on Jamie Smith without using it for 9 years.
Yeah, same with Kevin DeVries.
I think everyone has that. Everyone has that story that there's just someone out there with the dream.
I've got quite a common name. I'm surprised someone's got Kevin DeVries. That's anyway, shall we finish the podcast? Let's finish the podcast.
Yeah, right.
So like I said, we'll have a midweek episode out. We'll try and record straight after the Cup semi-finals. That should be out Wednesday, Thursday, depending on where you live in the world. But that's it for now. Thanks to everyone who's joined. And if you've listened, thank you as well. We'll be back very soon. Thanks again. This has been Bundesliga for Beginners.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.